The Gospel Plan of Salvation by T. W. Brents. Chapter 7. The Identity of the Church. We have found that the Church of God was organized in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and it is worthy of note that all the forms of speech used to indicate it are in the singular number. Thus, Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of God, Kingdom of His Dear Son, Church of God, Household of Faith, House of God, the pillar and ground of the truth, the body, the temple of God, etc., etc. Where the word churches occurs in the plural number, it has reference to the congregations worshipping at particular places, and not to the kingdom, body, or church which has been the object of our search. Paul tells his Ephesian brethren that there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. The connection in which we here have the phrase one body as clearly shows that there is but one body, as does the phrase one God shows that there is but one God. But in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5, we are told that as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And again, but now are they many members, yet but one body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. Thus we see that language cannot more clearly indicate anything but that Christ has but one organized body on the earth. What constitutes this one body? What is this one body? With reference to Christ, Paul says he is the head of the body, the church, Colossians 1 and verse 18. And again, verse 24, he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Here we are expressly told that the body is the church. Once more, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. Here the order is reversed. The church is his body. Then the church and body are the same as his body. Then the church and body are the same, and are used interchangeably. But the unity of thought is quite apparent. The body, the church, not a church, some church, or any church, but the church. There being but one body, and that being the church, it follows that there is but one church. Then if in kindness we may be plain and candid without being offensive, we would like to inquire how it comes to pass that there is a Catholic Church, an Episcopalian Church, several kinds of Presbyterian Churches, several kinds of Methodist Churches, several kinds of Baptist Churches, etc., etc., each claiming divine authority for its existence, and yet all acknowledging the Bible to be true and an infallible rule of faith and practice. Is there not something wrong here? We hear Paul addressing the Church of God at Corinth, but he never speaks to or instructs the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church. Nor does he ever address any class of persons as a church at all, only those who compose the one body, or kingdom, of which Christ is the head and king. But we are told that these sectarian organizations are branches of the one church or body of which Paul speaks. This makes the matter no better, but rather worse. Paul nowhere addresses the Presbyterian branch of the church, the Methodist branch of the church, or the Baptist branch of the church. In order to sensibly speak of branches of the church, one of three figures must be before the mind, namely, a tree with trunk and branches, a vine with its stem and branches, or a stream with its tributaries. A tree and its branches and a vine and its branches are so nearly alike in their illustrative character that we may consider them together, while we see if either or both of them will symbolize the church. When did these branch organizations shoot forth? We do not know that we can correctly date the origin of all of them, nor is it necessary that we should go back to the beginning of the Roman Catholic and Greek churches. For those who advocate the branch church doctrine do not admit these to be sister branches with them at all. According to history, The Episcopal Church began about the year 1521. Presbyterianism began about the year 1537. Scotch Presbyterianism about the year 1558. English Presbyterianism about the year 1572. Baptistism about the year 1611. Quakerism began about the year 1655. Methodism about the year 1729. Secederism began about the year 1733. Cumberland Presbyterianism, according to Birder, began on Cumberland River about the year 1810. The Church of God began in Jerusalem about the year 33. We believe these embrace the most prominent organizations of this country, and we see that we cannot get a single one except the Church of God back further than the 16th century. Was the Church without branches for the first 1500 years of its existence? And did she bring no fruit during that time? Neither tree nor vine can maintain its life and bring forth fruit without branches. Yet, if these organizations are the branches, then it follows that the church was a branchless, fruitless, lifeless thing until they came into being. Since then, in one-third of that time, it has put forth a host of branches, and branches of branches, and branches of branches of branches, until they have become so thick that we are inclined to think that the pruning hook is necessary. Each of the branches differs in constitution, character, and fruit from all the others. Such a tree! Such a tree! What a monstrosity! A tree bearing apples, pears, peaches, apricots, quinces, plums, cherries, berries, nuts of all kinds, hard shell and soft, melons, pumpkins, squashes, etc., etc., and yet all come from the same incorruptible seed, the Word of God. Strange as such a sight would appear, it would take a tree with more different kinds of branches and fruits than we have mentioned to represent the Church of God, if it has as many branch churches growing out of it as there are denominations claiming to be branches of it at present. But we may be told that this variety was produced by grafting. If so, the grafting was not done by Paul, nor in accordance with his formula, for he speaks of branches which were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. Romans 11, verse 24. Naturally, branches bear fruit like that of the tree from which they were taken, but Paul's grafts bore fruit contrary to nature. Like the natural branches of the tree into which his grafts were inserted, they were taken from the world and were grafted into Christ, the true vine, made members of his body or church. And whether they were Jews or Gentiles, Christianity or pure and undefiled religion was the fruit. Therefore, if these sectarian parties were grafted branches of the one church of God, they would all partake of its fruit and fatness, and there would be no difference in them or their fruit. One could not bear sprinkling as baptism, another pouring, another immersion, another all three, and another none at all. Another vicarious atonement, total hereditary depravity, abstract spiritual operations, unconditional election and reprobation, and many other doctrines differing as widely as these do. Once more, men usually take branches for grafting from other trees than the one into which they are to be inserted. It is true, Paul tells us that these natural branches that were broken off because of unbelief might be grafted in again if they abode not in unbelief. But when they were broken off, they were as foreign as the unnatural branches. Then, as the one church of God is supposed to be made up of these branch churches, where is the trunk into which they were grafted? And where is the tree from which they were taken before grafting? Is this great church tree all branches? And from what church were these branch churches taken before grafting? These branches are churches according to the theory, and not individuals. Then whence came they? They were not taken from the church of God, for there would be no use in taking a branch from a tree and grafting it back into the same tree. Then from what tree or vine were they taken? Or, to speak without a figure, from what church did these branches come, before they became part and parcel of the church made up of them? It will not do to say that they were taken from the world, for they came from there as individuals, not as organizations. And if we look at it under the figure of a great stream and its branches or tributaries, the same difficulties are in the way. As these organizations are branches, where is the main stream into which they flow, and where are the fountains whence they come? They come not from Christ, the fountain of living water, for all the branches making up a great stream come not from the same spring, for then they would be a union from the first, and there could be no branches at all. Then if they come not from the inexhaustible fountain of the human imagination, we know not their source. Let us go to Christ, whence flows the pure, limpid stream of living water, of which he who drinks shall thirst no more, but have a well of water springing up in him unto everlasting life. But we do read of branches, and we will now try to find what a branch is. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. John 15 and verse 5. Here, Jesus speaks of his disciples as branches of him and in him. Abide in me, says he, verse 4. Paul speaks of himself and brethren as having been baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. His baptism did not give him a literal entrance into Christ, but it gave him an entrance into his body, or the body organized by his authority, by which a relationship was created like that of a vine and its branches, or a body and its members. The same writer tells us that by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. By the authority and according to the teaching of one Spirit, we are all baptized in water into one body or church and become members of it. And when speaking to the Romans with regard to the same relationship, he says, by baptism we enter into Christ, and thus individuals as such become branches of him, the true vine. But an organized body of persons or an organized church cannot, as such, be termed a branch of the one body or church of God. If anyone insists that it can, then we would gladly see the scriptural process by which such a relationship is created. We are profoundly ignorant of any such instructions, as well as any precedent or authority of any kind authorizing it. Hence, when asked, as we frequently are, to what branch of the church we belong, we answer that we claim to be an humble branch ourselves, but know nothing about belonging to branches. Jesus as king has but one kingdom, as head has but one body, as bridegroom has but one bride, and is the author of but one church, and his people should be one people, and no divisions among them. But we have heard persons, yes, indeed, preachers too, thank God for divisions so as to furnish an organization suited to the taste of everyone, that the people may be without excuse for disobedience to the gospel. Thank God, they say, that there are so many different denominations, each holding a different doctrine, that all can be suited. If our church don't suit you, in the multitude of others you can find one suited to your fancy, so you cannot fail to be suited. Such persons, to say the least of it, have a different view of this subject from that entertained by the Savior, for he considered unity among his people as of the utmost importance and prayed for it in his most solemn prayer to his Father. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 17, verses 20 and 21. Thus we see that Jesus considered divisions among those claiming to be his people as a most fruitful source of infidelity, and he was not mistaken. We verily believe that divisions among those claiming to be the people of God have made more infidels than all the writings of Voltaire, Paine, Gibbon, Hume, Owen, and every other avowed infidel that has ever wielded a pen on the earth. A celebrated Indian chief, when asked by a missionary what he thought of the religion of the Bible, he said, "Go home and agree among yourselves, and then come to me, and I will consider the matter." Hence Paul, unlike those who love and create divisions, said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. But we have been asked why the Lord's people are not one, if such be the import of his prayer. It is said that his Father always heard him when he prayed, and not only heard him, but granted his petitions, or that for which he prayed. Why, then, are his people divided? Is it not possible that the class of persons for whom he prayed are all one? He prayed for unity among those who should believe on him through the words of his apostles. He did not pray for such as might believe on him through the traditions of their fathers or the teachings of men as set forth in the disciplines, confessions of faith, catechisms, etc., which might be taught them from childhood. These are the sources of much of the faith that is in the world, and persons whose faith comes in this way come not within the range of the prayer made by the Savior. It is sometimes said that these different organizations are only as many different roads leading to heaven, and when we get there, we will not be asked which road we came or what kind of conveyance brought us there. We are willing to grant that no such questions will be asked those who get there. But will we get there? This is the important inquiry. We would be glad to see proof of the fact that there are as many ways to heaven as there are denominations in the world before we accept the doctrine as safe. The greatest teacher that has ever condescended to instruct man on this subject said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Matthew 7 and verse 14. Again he said, "I am the way." John 14 and verse 6. The Pharisees, recognizing this fact, said, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth." Matthew 22:16, Mark 12:14, Luke 20 and verse 21. Even wicked spirits gave testimony to the fact, for through a damsel one said, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Acts 16 and verse 17. Peter says, "The way of truth shall be evil spoken of." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Verse 15, he says, certain persons had forsaken the right way. And again, verse 21, he says, it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Apollos was instructed in the way of the Lord, but when Aquila and Priscilla found that he knew only the baptism of John, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Acts 18, verses 25 and 26. The Holy Spirit signified that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. Hebrews 9 and verse 8. Thus we find Jesus, the Holy Spirit, evil spirits, opposing Pharisees, apostles, and other disciples, all speaking of the way to heaven, but none of them spake of the ways or in any way implied that there are more ways than one from earth to heaven. Hence, we conclude that there is one and only one way. We read of wicked ways, pernicious ways, the ways of death, etc., but the way to heaven is so straight and narrow that it is found by few. Indeed, there can be but one straight line between any two points. Hence, those who do not travel the straight and narrow way must necessarily travel crooked ways, which are marked out by men and not by the Lord. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. Surely, then, we had better walk as God directs. Guided by Him, we are safe, but there is safety nowhere else.